Several years ago, the Lord gave me a revelation called Breathing Life, and I basically went to Ezekiel 37, and I was crying out to the Lord saying, what chance does a person have that doesn't have any money, they don't have any backing, they're flat broke? And I was saying to him, what can happen there? Or let's say a person just out of answers, Barb, and they're out of resources, they don't know what to do. And the Lord took me to Ezekiel chapter 37, and he said, I want to teach you about breathing life. Well, I believe this prophet Ezekiel knew about the Abrahamic covenant.
Yes.
I believe he knew that God wanted to establish his work through his life and through everyone's life that understands the Abrahamic covenant. And I've since come to a better understanding of the Abrahamic covenant, but I'm starting to see that every day God has something to evidence himself in our lives through that blessing that he promised Abraham beginning back in Genesis chapter 12.
I agree with you. And every day when I come into our family room, there is a little framed picture on the wall, and you got that when you were at Darren's coffee shop from a friend who needle-pointed it, and it's Breathing Life, and it's in green, and it's right there. And every day I see that, Breathing Life. And so every day Ezekiel 37 comes up to me. Before we get into the blessing and the blessing covenant that Abraham got from God, I would like to talk a little bit about the deception that Satan brought into the Garden of Eden. It was a perfect place, a place of total blessing, total provision. God had made a creation that was perfect. And then Satan came in and deceived and set stage for something that man did not know, and that was death. And death came into man and into woman at that point when they sinned and they fell from God. And that's why I want to kind of set the stage, because death then took over in humanity, and Darren set the stage for why God had to come to Abraham and bring him a covenant blessing. Why did he need to do that?
Well, I think we're talking about such profound concepts that let's pray and make sure that we set ourselves in order to receive from the Lord what he wants us to have. And so I'm going to pray in agreement with Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. So that's my prayer today, for not only for us, but for our listeners. Mm-hmm. Father God, I just lift up the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord God, and I ask that today that you would open up the eyes of our heart. These are such profound concepts, Lord, that we don't want to miss one thing. I ask you to teach us supernaturally by revelation knowledge or revelation delivery, and we will keep what you give us. In the powerful name of our Savior Jesus, amen.
Amen.
All right, talk to us about the Garden of Eden and what happened there, Barb.
I believe when Satan introduced himself to Adam and Eve, he knew that God's most blessed creation, and when God created man, he said, that is very good. And it was a very good creation. In fact, he created man in his very image and his very likeness, not only his spiritual part, but also the structural part of God's being, the part that we see in Jesus when he walked on the earth, in Jesus Christ. He made us in his very image and likeness. And so what the devil did here, as he always does with God's people, he comes to us to steal, kill, and destroy. And that came in the garden. And he is death incarnate and every accessory of death. That's who Satan really is. He brings death into the world. Take, for instance, September 11th, 2001. That is a date that all Americans will know for the rest of the history of America. And that's when death came into America in an explosive force. But behind that death was Satan himself. In fact, we saw on one cover of a Newsweek, I believe it was, Darren, with the explosion in one of the Twin Towers, in the clouds was an actual face, and it had not been doctored up. This was a face of the very evil himself.
You mean it wasn't a doctored photograph?
Yes.
Yes, I saw that too, and that was a profound expression of what had happened there, of death coming from the kingdom of darkness. And I believe we need a broad interpretation of the spirit of death. It could be debt in finances. It could be sickness in a person's body or a person's mind or emotions. It could be a sick business. It could be a sick relationship.
Yes.
I believe that spirit of death is pervasive in our society and our culture. That's what we're talking about today, and there is a supernatural way to remove that spirit. We're going to be talking about that here in this concept of breathing life. You
yes.
have more to give on this Eden situation.
Well, he also, and you were the first one I heard this from, too, not only the Ezekiel 37 breathing life concept I received from you, praise God, but also the idea that a lot of people are carrying false passports. And if you carry a false passport, you are in the death stream, because that life from God is not going to be working through you if you have a false passport. So I know a lot of people, Darren, that are carrying around what you call a false passport.
Well, you know, today there's quite a concern in the law enforcement community and by people that have been victims, but they've had stolen identities.
Mm-hmm.
People have stolen credit cards and Social Security numbers and so on, and they're out purporting to be someone they're not, and they're stealing from somebody else's financial wealth. They're taking their credit cards and spending their money and signing their name, and that's become a real problem. But you know, the one that's really stolen our identity is the devil himself, and we bought the lie.
Mm-hmm.
He's told us we're something that we're not, that you're inferior or unworthy or you're trash, or he's given us a false self-concept, and many people have bought the lie. Because of that, they're living the lie. And so we would say to them, you really have a false passport. You're believing that you're someone that you're not.
Yes.
We want to see that destroyed. We want to see that taken away from people so they can believe the truth about themselves.
And we see here in the very beginning of the Bible, we see men that God kind of picked out from the death stream. And we see it in Noah. He just kind of picked out Noah and his family and took them out of the death stream that destroyed the whole world. Then here we see in Genesis that God just kind of picks out of a idolatrous city, Haran, in Ur of the Chaldees. He picks out this man, Abram, and says, I want you to go and live a godly life here in Canaan, a land that he did not know at all. But God kind of picked him up out of the death stream and gave him a covenant that we still live under. Praise God, we still live under.
Now, I believe his family, there were idol worshipers and idol makers,
mm-hmm.
if I remember my history right. But I want to read here beginning in Genesis 12, verse 1. It says, Now the Lord said to Abram, Go forth from your country and from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God is saying here, beginning, I am going to prophesy these things. I'm going to say these things, and those that curse you will be cursed, and those that bless you will be blessed. But in all of the families of the earth shall be blessed in you. And that means that God is going to have to do something. He's going to have to be active to bring about those words, to bring them to pass.
Well, and this was a great effort. When God gave this blessing, he gave it probably to Abram in a dream or in a vision. As so many times in the book of Genesis, we see God came in a dream or a vision. And here, Abram, and it was even before he got the A-H added to his name, Abraham. This was before his name change. And what did this man do? He was very famous, probably in this city of idolater. His father was an idol maker. What did he do? The very next verse says, he did as the Lord commanded him. He left his relatives. He left all of his familiar surroundings. He left all of his friends. He left his job, which he had gotten. It was a generational job, which his father had probably passed down to him. He left all that, Darren. So he was an obedient man.
Well, also, you could say that he was receiving a new identity.
Yes.
Now, he was 75 years old when God spoke to him that time. And then the next time we read is in Genesis 17, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will establish my covenant between me and you. Now, that's such a profound concept, and we really as Christians need to tap into that. God is saying on his part, I will establish my covenant between me and you. I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall now be Abraham, and I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. Now, one thing I'd like to say at this point, when God said, my covenant is with you, what he is saying is, I am putting myself under contract with you.
Mm.
Another word for covenant would be contract. This is pretty supernatural. We'll find out later on through Jesus that God is under contract to us to establish the contract in our lives.
Mm.
And I think that is really, really profound. And then we go on to read, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you. I will establish my covenant. I like the word contract. I will establish my contract between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you.
Wow. Now, God was telling this 75-year-old man,